Good morning. We will open the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. And we're waiting for legislative counsel for amendments. So I think I'll recess the committee for 30 minutes. The attention, obviously, is today is to move one of our school construction bills. We're paying most attention to Senate Bill 1036, but we do not have all of our amendments, and so I'm going to recess us until 9:15, and hopefully we'll come back here at 9:15 and move something today. So I'll keep us open today so that we can move something today. We stay in recess till 9:15.
Again, good morning, everyone. The Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue will still be in recess for an additional 15 minutes, and so we'll see you at about 9:35.
Okay, so we are returned from recess. Here is what we'll do today. We're hoping to move a school capital bill this afternoon. Have met with legislative counsel. I believe we've ironed out all the areas of at least disagreement. And we will, at 2:30 to 3, through LRO in my office, we'll have amendments ready. The members will get them first. And then we will reconvene here at 4 on 1036 and Senate Bill 366 at 4 o'clock in Hearing Room A. Any questions? And what do I do, Paul? I just recess till 4. Okay, so we stand in recess till 4. We're back from our brief recess. Okay, so we are going to open, and this will be the last work session. Write it down. The last work session this committee does on Senate Bill 1036. So I will open a work session on Senate Bill 1036. Committee, we have the Dash 12s, which thank you, Legislative Council, has been working hard on. And the Dash 13s, and maybe we'll do the Dash 13s first. If that, if the cities would like to come, Representative Burley, would you like to? Let's do Representative Burley, and then we'll do the cities. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. State Representative Chuck Burley, House District 54, and I appreciate the opportunity to finally be able to testify on this bill. I apologize for having missed previous hearings on this. During the interim, Representative Hunt approached me to see if I'd be interested in co-chairing a work group to address capital needs for K-12, which was something I was very interested in and was more than happy to do that. And we had some very, very productive work group meetings, very good attendance, a lot of ideas. There was no limit. I mean, everything was put on the table. My personal feeling is that I think the state does have a role to play in helping school districts with their capital needs, not entirely, but somehow help them to some extent. It's also important to recognize that no two school districts are the same. We've got high growth, low growth. We've got some that, for example, Culver School District in Jefferson County, their tax base is very heavy by agriculture, so it's very hard for them to pass bond measures, yet they're a very rapidly growing enrollment school district. This bill is one that came out of that work group. And the reason I like this bill, particularly as opposed to an SDC, I have always been very concerned about the effects SDCs would have on the price of houses. And in Central Oregon, that's a particularly acute problem. In 2005, when we had this discussion, the sister school district estimated they would need SDCs as high as $15,000 per house, which in my opinion is just, you know, a non-starter. The thing I like about this bill is that it's a more equitable way to help address the capital issue. It's not a flat fee per house. It's based, as you see in both the Dash 12 and Dash 13, so much per square foot. And it also includes the commercial and industrial construction with hard dollar caps on it. So I think this is a very good idea. It's just one, you know, there's some others that we've got. In fact, in the House, we're going to be, Representative Hunt and I will be co-carrying a bill here this evening for general obligation bonds to provide some matching grant opportunities for school districts as well. So I think there's a whole suite of tools that we can be looking at. But I did want to express my support for 1036 and in particular for the Dash 12 amendments.
Great. And you've had a chance to look over the Dash 12s and...
Yes, I did.
Great. Great. Thank you very much. Questions for Representative Burley?
Thank you.
Enjoy your evening on the floor. We'll be having our dinners at home, watching NBA basketball. Cities, you want to come talk about the Dash 13? Dan, you're going to stay back there. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Chair Deckard. Andy Shaw at the League of Cities. We participated in the work group in an effort to see if we can't help hone this tool. The last remaining issue was the preemption of local government authority to raise excise taxes. So we proposed a compromise that's reflected in the Dash 13 amendments, which would establish what we're calling a double cap. Would establish one authority for school districts to impose an excise tax of starting at $1 per square foot, and a separate authority for local governments to establish a similar excise tax at $1 per square foot, with a list of things that could the city could spend or county could spend that excise tax on. We're concerned that the proposal, either way, we don't know how much funding this is going to raise, and would question a trade-off of local government authority to raise excise taxes to establish what is probably a limited tool for school districts, given the enormous size of the facilities problem that schools face. I think what you're trying to do is find a way to make growth help pay for the impacts of growth. But you're considering taking away a tool from cities that we use to help make growth pay locally for other services and activities. We also are learning every day of new cities that establish or that have excise taxes. The city of Medford is working on one. The city of Wilsonville is working on one. The city of Ashland has one already. Part of the problem we've had is identifying what an excise tax is. Many local governments have established community development fees. They don't think of them as an excise tax, but they really are. Other local governments are looking to use a community development fee that pays for planning. Again, we see that as helping to make growth pay for the costs of accommodating that growth. So we would urge you to support this compromise proposal rather than preempting the authority that local governments would have. Be glad to answer any questions.
Questions for Mr. Shaw or the cities? Thank you very much. Thank you for all your help. You have worked very hard on the work group. Anyone else? Do we want to have committee? Do you want to hear from Craven? Do you want to? Really? Jim Craven has not been as conspicuous on this issue.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Craven, American Electronics Association, and one of my colleagues, Mr. Williams, is currently in Washington, D.C., so I'm making an attempt to pitch it a little bit for Jonathan Williams from Intel. I was not part of the work group, but I do represent a class of people who will be paying these costs. So I have it's a specific question, and you could look at the Dash 12s. The same language is in both bills, but we could take page 2 of the Dash 12s. On line 20, and this is the industrial part, the 25 cents per square foot of improvements to real property that are intended for industrial use. I don't see the phrase improvements to real property defined in here. I'm desperately struggling with all these experts in the back row to tell me what that means. It had been represented to me this morning that this tax was on net new construction. In other words, I got a piece of dirt and I build a 100,000 square foot building on it. I pay this tax on this. My concern, and it's just sort of a instant one here, is major remodelings of industrial facilities or commercial facilities. Up at the top of the page, you see on line 2 an exclusion for what is called commercial tenant improvements. I think we sort of know what that is. You come into a space and you remodel it. You put walls in, you take walls out, you add a bathroom, whatever. I am concerned on line 20 as to what improvements to real property means in the industrial sense. So that's the question. I don't have the answer. I had been told that this was on net new square footage. So I'm just trying to seek a little clarification on that phrase. If there's somebody in the room that can do it on the record, I'd appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Bob? Paul, can we have Bob come down from Legislative Council? I guess he's probably listening to this, or from what I hear he is. So, Bob, it's kind of odd I'm asking someone in a different room. Could you come and give us definition to Mr. Craven's question?
Mr. Chair.
Net new improvements, line 20. Yes, Senator Starr.
No, I appreciate the kind of the legislating on the fly that we're doing here, and I think that Mr. Craven has brought up an issue of definitions and defining, you know, the bill. And I think that another issue that needs further definition in the bill is where does retail fall in the definition of industrial or commercial, and I think that needs to be clearly stated for the record,
commercial.
Legislative intent, or
is commercial.
Or we ought to look at an amendment in the House side to add further definition to how retail fits into this whole
equation. Commercial.
I would think it would be commercial, but probably.
Good afternoon, Bob. Please. So let's, Senator Starr had a question. Let's go with Senator Starr's first, unless you're prepared to answer Mr. Craven's. You have the answer handy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Muir from Legislative Council. I was monitoring the discussion. I believe I understand the question. I'm prepared to proceed with an answer. This section, as you understand, is a cap on the amount of construction taxes that can be imposed. And it would be on a square footage basis. You just simply look at where the improvement is and measure the square footage, and the maximum tax that could be imposed would be 25 cents per square foot. Now, what kind of improvement? Any kind of improvement, if it's a constructed improvement. So that's our understanding.
Senator George.
Including agriculture structures.
Yes, there's no exemption for agricultural.
So I don't mind it either.
Right.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Monroe.
But it would have to add square footage, right? The improvement would have to add square footage. So renovating a building that already exists and changing the configuration and making improvements, if it doesn't add square footage, it's not subject to this tax.
Mr. Chair, Senator Monroe, that's my understanding from the language, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Just if we can get clarification, issues have been raised about what the definition of both industrial and commercial is. Where does retail, where do office buildings fall into the definition? I assume it's under commercial, but it doesn't say that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, there is no definition, and you're raising a good question. The bill itself does not address that. Industrial would be interpreted in a common sense way in the absence of a special definition in the law.
And retail would be defined as commercial.
Yes, it would.
Other questions for Bob? Can you stay with us for? Thank you. Bob's worked very hard all day on getting this bill ready. Okay, let's do home builders, and then we'll do schools, and then we'll get hospitals. So home builders and Gary, or AGC, do you guys want to come up representing other parts of... it's up to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member of the committee, John Chandler, Oregon Home Builder Association, here on the -12 amendments to the Senate Bill 1036. These look with one exception to be what we have discussed in our work group, we very much appreciate this committee's time today and Legislative Council's time all day churning through these. We believe these represent the agreements that we've reached with the school folks, and looking forward to seeing this bill move forward. The one change I would notice is on line 9 on page, or line 9 and 10 of page 1, which deals with local construction excise taxes that are in process. And what we had intended to have drafted there was that it wouldn't apply to taxes in effect or that had on which a resolution had been, or a public hearing had been held at the local level, not necessarily that they'd been approved at a public hearing. Mm-hmm. There were apparently a couple around the state that were down the road far enough to where it seemed fair to keep them outside of the, include them in the grandfathering. And that's a change we would be happy to make on the other side.
Right. Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Was it your intention in the work group, I don't believe this ever was brought up, at least in any of the meetings that I was in, to include agricultural buildings, as Senator George brought up? I think that I never heard that brought up, and that, it wasn't my intention to include somebody building a barn. Or
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Starr, no, it was not our intention. Tempting because of other issues in this process, but it was never our intention to include ag buildings.
We'll talk about that more.
Always fun. Yes. Other hearings, other times.
Scott, any questions for the home builders?
Thank you, Chair.
Senator Monroe.
So if Senator George and I and Senator Starr brought an amendment on the House side that exempted agricultural buildings, you would not be in opposition to that?
That's correct, Senator Mr. Chairman.
Senator Deckert and Senator Monroe, we in fact just out in the hall talked about the fact that that piece of it was not supposed to be left in as part of the excise tax.
Okay.
Gary Conklin.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Gary Conkling representing the Associated General Contractors. You know where we're at generally on this issue, but more specifically to this amendment. And we're looking at it, obviously, as other people for the first time. I think Mr. Craven does have a point, notwithstanding the comment by Legislative Council, that the language here on commercial and industrial property does seem to cover all improvements, which, at least in the industrial setting, but often in a commercial setting too, occurs all the time. And while I think that the basic structure of what has been discussed of having this fee apply to new square footage is a concept that, you know, we understand, I'm not sure that this language actually does this. And my suspicion is that as attorneys representing a number of the commercial and industrial interests sitting behind me look at it, they'll conclude the same thing. So I don't think this does, at least it's not as precise in what it says it does as it might. And I know that's the intent, and that's what the advocates are trying to say. I think it would probably be not only useful but maybe politically useful for you to make sure that that's what it says, because it doesn't seem to us.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Monroe.
We can do two things. We can put on the record from this committee that that is our interpretation of it, and that's what we've been advised, that it's new square footage. And then we can go to the House when this bill gets over to the other side and have that specifically drafted into the bill.
Seems like it'd be almost a one-word amendment on three different lines.
What? Okay, now Paul gets really nervous. What's one word?
New square foot. I mean, probably isn't more just one word, but it's probably. But you just add the word.
Okay. Well, we'll. Why don't we do that? Why don't we make that very clear that new is the legislative intent when we discuss this both right now, new is the intent, and then on the floor, and then prepare some clarifying language. It's great to have counsel here while we are in work. We should do this every time while we're in work session so that we get something that says new. Yes, Scott.
One other question, comment, Chair Deckard, and that is just to make sure we're defining new as additional.
new square footage and not just the refurbishing of old space into a new space, but new additional square footage.
That's two words, new additional.
And improved.
Okay. So Steve's got a... okay, we'll huddle on that. Steve had a good comment about interior square footage. So we'll start crafting what will be more amendments, the dash 14s and 15s, as this goes over to the House. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your help. Dana, Lori, Jim Green, Tricia Smith. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim Green with the Oregon School Boards Association. I think the dash 12s reflect what the work group had intended. What's going to happen is we'll impose the $1. School boards have to adopt a resolution in order to do this. So it's not an automatic tax that will go in across the state. School boards got to work on this. It's $1 for the residential, 50 cents for the commercial, 25% or 25 cents a square foot for the industrial, and then they enter into an intergovernmental agreement with their local, either city or county, whoever collects it, an administrative fee will be charged of not more than 1%. We also were able to put in the definition of capital construction that is what's in most bond campaigns that are out there for school districts. That's something we needed in there as well. One of the issues that was talked about this morning in the work group, and I know it's a concern to Senator Monroe, and I wanted to get this on the record, dealt with an issue around the city of Portland wanting to impose one and spread it across several school districts. We asked that it not be in the dash 12s, but that we'll pull together those metro area superintendents and have a discussion around that, as well as with the city of Portland, to discuss that issue and see if there's agreement around that. And if there is, we will work on the House side to put that into this bill. But I want to make sure that those metro area superintendents had that conversation with the city of Portland, and we are working on a date, May 11th, to get those folks together. So I wanted to let you know that that's going to occur, Mr. Chair, but we're in support of the dash 12 amendments.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rod Monroe.
And I'd like to ask you, Mr. Chair, to assign me the duty of meeting with those folks.
Yeah, do you know, where are they meeting?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Monroe, we are going to meet here in the Capitol building to make it nice and easy for you to attend.
Great, yeah. So we'd like to have Senator Monroe and someone from Portland join Senator Monroe.
If Senator Burdick would like to join us as well, that'd be fine. She represents a portion of the
city. So you'll help convene the meeting and find a room if they haven't done so. And yep. Thank you, Jim. You've been incredibly helpful on every part of this, but specifically, you already got a date from 4 hours.
We've been
ago.
Busy, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Other questions for the school boards? Ms. Wimmer-Whalen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For your record, Lori Wimmer-Whalen, representing the Oregon Education Association. Wanted to concur that we also think that dash 12s capture what we had worked hard to see get into the final mix. And we were concerned, of course, that the collection be reliable, that the law have teeth, that the amount of money raised would be approximate to that which we were looking at in Senate Bill 366 on school impact fees for schools. And we feel confident that with everybody working together, we were able to get very, very close to that, and also perhaps even raise revenue for those areas where there may be some construction activity going on, but not yet new school need pressures, but perhaps some money for crumbling infrastructure, which is very, very difficult to find. And so we like that this broadens it just a little bit so that it could do that as well. And just finally, one last word. I'd like to just say that there were a lot of legislators on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers who've worked since the interim on finding solutions around that. And we acknowledge and appreciate every one of them who took a lot of time to be a part of that solution set of solutions. And this is just one of several pieces that we support coming out as a package that this Legislative Assembly could be very proud of. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I know you've served on a number of work groups on school capital. Dana, you brought us Senate Bill 366 and started this conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Decker, members of the committee. For the record, my name's Dana Hepper. I'm the statewide advocacy coordinator with Stand for Children. And I just am thrilled that we're beginning to address some of the problems around overcrowded schools and dilapidated school facilities in Oregon, which I think are long overdue a look from this body. And I know that Stand for Children members are anxious and thrilled to see that we think we have a product that can move today and begin to do something for our local school district. So thank you.
And so you're in support of the Dash-12s.
We are in support of the Dash-12s, yes. After much discussion and research and compromise, we support the Dash-12s.
Great, great. Questions for Stand or OEA? Thank you very much for all of your time. Fiscom and is it Mayor Cowan? Danielle Cowan from Wilsonville?
Danielle.
Danielle is, she's the mayor's girl Friday.
He said it, not me. Dave, do you want to go first? And
sure, Mr. Chair. For the record, Dave Fiscom representing Providence Health System, and as of a few moments ago on the phone, I received the authority to speak also on behalf of the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. Representatives of that association were here this morning and this afternoon, but not this late this afternoon in another meeting. And so, for the record, I just wanted to say that we were surprised as a group of hospitals to learn that we were no longer exempt from this legislation. We were not involved in the work group, obviously. We've been watching this from afar. Almost all hospitals in Oregon, as you know, with a couple exceptions, are nonprofit organizations, and we think of ourselves in some ways, not exactly the same, obviously, but as community resources, like schools. Hospitals already are substantially contributing to the funding of health and human services programs in the state, including negotiating in other parts of this building, as we speak, the extension of the hospital tax to help fund programs. So we wonder, frankly, about the rationale for not exempting hospitals any longer. That could have the effect of adding to healthcare costs at a time when avoiding healthcare cost increases ought to be one of our collective missions. Mr. Chair, just before the hearing, I appreciated your offer to continue talking with us about this. We will appreciate the chance to take you up on that beyond this hearing. But for the record, it was important to express our concern about no longer being exempt from the provisions of Senate Bill 1036.
Thank you. Questions? And you do know it is a local... It is a local decision.
We are aware of the local decision, and I've been reading the 12s and 13s as I sit here, as well as the original bill. So, Mr. Chair, yes, we are.
Questions for Ms. Cowan?
Thank you. I'm Danielle Cowan, Public and Government Affairs Director for the City of Wilsonville. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak today. Our Mayor, Charlotte Lehan, was here earlier today and had another engagement this afternoon and was unable to be here, but you have written testimony that we've submitted on her behalf. One thing I was wanting to come up to mention was that we wondered if you would consider amending the Dash-12's Section 1, Sub 2, to a slightly longer date, perhaps June 1st. We've been working on this issue in our city for quite some time and looking at options for affordable housing. It just so happens that we have a public hearing scheduled for our next council meeting, May 7th, where we have public coming to talk about this very issue. And so if it's possible, that we would really request that you consider this as a secondary time frame. Other than that, we do support the league's position and really welcome what you're trying to do. We have worked very diligently with our local schools on building facilities and have devoted a lot of our revenues to that where it's been available. So we understand it completely and have been committing ourselves to that. This is just something we want to commit to for affordable housing, which is also important in our community.
Mm-hmm. Questions for... Yes, Senator George.
Mayor Lehan, written testimony referred to us precluding the use of and leave the local government with even fewer tools to address critical deficiencies. That is an almost identical comment that I've had from other cities talking about the fact that we're preempting here. And I'm a little bit concerned about that as I've talked to some folks over the weekend that here again we're putting additional pressure, we're actually picking the winner here. And that's right. Any comment on that?
Absolutely. We, Senator Deckard and Senator George, we absolutely are opposed to preemption by local governments from doing a variety of things that enable that enable us to provide services and serve our community. And this is just one of those, through many bills throughout the legislature this session that are attempting to preempt local governments, and we are opposed to that, but there's also a train on the track. So
that's amazing you would say that, because I was just about, when I asked the question, I was going to say most people don't want to stand in front of this train, so it's great that we brought it up.
Thank you very much. Anyone else would like to stand in front of this train before? Randy, Tucker. So I'll just warn everyone in here, last time we did this, Randy said I will be very brief, and 10 minutes later, we...
Oh, Mr. Chair.
We have different perceptions of time. Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Randy Tucker, Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro, just wanted to go on the record again now that we have the actual amendments. I did already speak to you in the first hearing on this bill, expressing concern over the preemption aspect of it. As you know, we've got a major infrastructure problem facing us in the region over the next several decades. This is one of the tools we've been looking at. As you also know, we already have a construction excise tax in effect, but it expires in a couple of years. I don't see anything in here allowing the extension of a construction excise tax, not that we planned on doing it with that particular instrument. I've heard some talk that might be something under consideration that would be somewhat helpful, but still would probably not reduce our concerns about the overall preemption. Just one comment. We deal with the conjunction of three very thorny issues: land use, finance, and governance. And if you can believe it, I think land use is in the best shape of those three things. Setting aside Measure 37, I guess. Just a small exception. But, we're looking at just a huge wall ahead of us in terms of finance, and obviously there's been all kinds of challenges in the legislature over the last couple of years with respect to annexation and governance and that sort of thing. And we just, once again, would be on the record saying we have grave concerns about taking tools off the table, financial tools off the table. End of.
Thank you.
Endless testimony.
questions for Metro. Thank you very much. And the city of Wilsonville, I'd be willing to, after this, to sit down with some of the members of the work group and see if there's a possibility of doing something with that May 1st date. So we can do that. We are in work session.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Before I move the -12s, we sat here and heard some testimony about hospitals, and dawned on me that when I was a city councilor, I went to bat for a local church who wanted to build a new building, and we're getting hit by SDC charges that were pretty hefty on the local city that I served on the council. And I would add churches to the list of that I would be exempted under Section 3 in this bill going forward. I will move the -12 amendments to Senate Bill 1036.
Thank you for the comment and for... So Senator Starr has moved the -3 amendments to Senate Bill...
-12.
What did I say? -12 amendments to Senate Bill 1036. Discussion of that motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Monroe.
Now, understanding that there's still work to be done, we've heard some concerns that I think the committee is listening to, and we know that there'll be necessary additional work. Our colleagues in the House, I'm sure, will be cognizant of that, and I expect to be very active in making sure that when the final product comes through, that we have the best bill possible, especially for the school children of the state.
Thank you. And keep us abreast of your meeting on May 11th.
I shall.
Other comments on the -12 amendments? Objections to that motion? Hearing none. Senator...
Starr.
I move the bill as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 1036 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Starr.
I wish that we were moving this bill in a completed form. I think that there's issues here that are undone. There was a piece of an earlier version of the bill that created an exception for residential projects that are below a certain value, and that got taken out of the bill when we went to square footage, apparently. I, for some reason, didn't realize that that was the case, and I'm concerned about, you know, the local resident, you know, who wants to add a bedroom or a new kitchen, and he's adding square footage, and we're just going to add another fee to his already feed building permit. And so that concerns me. That piece particularly concerns me, because when I read the amendment, I read it again, I kept looking for that, because it was $100,000 in some of the earlier versions. Mm-hmm. And I said, where's that $100,000 in this amendment? Well, it's not there. So, I want to provide opportunities for local school districts to deal with some of the facilities needs that they have. But I'm concerned that we're moving this bill in an unfinished fashion. I'm going to support moving it forward, but I'm going to study it closely as it moves to the Senate floor. And unless I get some assurances that some of these changes are going to be made, I'm not enthusiastic. Let's just say.
Senator George.
Burnett,
I didn't see her.
I was just sitting.
All right. Senator George.
Well, you can see my heartburn. I don't believe anyone cares more about a local community than a local community. I don't see any hostility between schools and cities. I really have a lot of heartburn about us preempting what's happening at the local level. I have a lot of trust in what happens at the local level, so I will be a no.
Mm-hmm. You've been consistent on that. Yep. Senator Monroe.
Yeah, the affordable housing language, different affordable housing language, is in there. The 60% of medium household income language is still in there. And my understanding from questions I asked in the work group was that means that a household earning less than about $25,000 buying or renting, that facility would be exempt. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but that language is still in the bill.
Yeah. Committee, here's why I would like to move forward. This is a entirely new concept that, and I think each member of the committee at least participated at some level, some more than others in the work group, that new issues come up literally seven at a time on this, and I think they'll continue. And after having worked this as our committee has for 2 months, I really would like to just start moving forward with the bill, understanding that there probably are amendments that will be done in the House, but it buys us 3 or 4 weeks to have folks vet the proposal in its entirety. Now it will be an engrossed bill that will be out there, and I can tell you we'll probably get a concurrence vote that I'd like to include. We've worked in a very bipartisan, unified manner on this, and I'd like to continue. And when it comes back, as it's amended, we can watch the amendments and participate as some are on the 11th. But the idea of, I just really strongly feel that we ought to move forward with something as solid as the Dash 12s and continue to understand that this is an entirely new concept that was born at least in the last few months, and it's probably in its, if we want this idea to move forward, it's in its interest to keep it going. Barbara, please call the roll.
Hi. Chair
Jordan.
Chairman Monroe.
Hi.
Aye.
Votes aye. The motion carries, and we are adjourned at 4:45. Started at 8:45.
You going to carry this yourself, boss?